Lifeway Leadership Podcast Network.
You're listening to the newchurches.com Q&A podcast. New Churches is an online hub for the mission of church multiplication. Here you'll find the resources and training you need to get started, as well as a community of church planting and multi-site experts to help you thrive. My name is Daniel Lim, and I'm here with Ed Stetzer.
Good to be here and looking forward to our conversation today.
All right. So today is a continuation from last week on episode 521, where we talked about, addressed the question, hey, I'm planting this month. What advice do you have for me? And we ended that episode on house churches and house church planting and all of that. So if you haven't listened to episode 521, be sure to go back and listen to that first. But for today, we really wanted to continue on that conversation on, Ed, you know, you mentioned the fact that there are 34 Western industrialized nations and there's no church planting movements within any of them. And then, you know, there's that whole context around, okay, what is God doing right now? Right there. So there's that question that's on, I know, all of our minds. What is God doing in the midst right now? And then example wise, on your podcast, the Stetzer Leadership Podcast, you had that interview with Andy Stanley, and then you had the interview with J.D. Greer, where he was talking about their pivoting and how they were moving more to a house church model. So maybe continue on with your thoughts around house churches, especially in light of the time that we are in now.
Yeah, and we want to be careful, of course. You know, the examples that I have in the interview were well-known pastors. So I actually talked to three. I tried to give three models, and I let them do the talking. So one was Andy Stanley, who, you know, chose clarity over certainty and confusion, and said, we're just not going to meet. We're going to put our energies into serving our community and streaming. Okay, that's through 2020 and maybe beyond. Calvary Chapel, Costa Mesa, where Brian Broderson serves, you know, probably best known historically as Chuck Smith's home church. They actually are opened with a modified series of locations, mm-hmm. 8 locations, I think, on campus, less than 100 in each of those locations. And then the third example was the one that I think probably has maybe closest implications of what we're talking about here, and that is J.D. Greer's church, the Summit Church. Yeah. The Summit Church is a large multi-site church. Now, again, it's a church planning podcast, so we have not talked to them on this podcast. That's over at Stetzer Leadership Podcast.com.
Yeah, we'll put in the show notes a link.
Yeah, for sure. But partly that's important is because, you know, church planners are not asking, you know, should I do what J.D. Greer did? Mm. But here's the thing. If you actually listen to the podcast, there's actually a kind of, you know, all of them have sort of names on them. This is the episode where we talk to whomever. One of them doesn't have names on them because we talked to four pastors of more reasonable sized churches and church planters. And one of them talked about what he called going 20 by 20 at the church. It was a church plant, a few years old. Had actually in the process of its, grown to 400, and then COVID came. And so they were restricted in the ability to meet. So they went 20 by 20, 20 groups of 20 people each who were basically missional communities. Ironically, you know, this is in West Virginia. So it's not, you know, we're not talking about, you know, Seattle with whoever, where you're going to have this sort of, you know, cutting edge language, not at all being critical of people in West Virginia, but the pastor was great. And so I would listen to them. So here's, I think, the reminder that there is a context, a place, if you will, for nimble, small, and rapidly reproducing right now. And that's the spot where church planters find themselves. So J.D. Greer's church pivots to, and I don't remember their attendance. They're above 10,000, so it's a giga church is sometimes the word people use. But the point is they're going to these house church kind of approaches. Now, this is important because there's theological implications here. And if you haven't listened to the podcast with J.D. Greer, I asked him, so is this a temporarily deficient ecclesiology for the sake of the mission? We got into a nerd theology conversation.
I love that first. That was great.
Yeah. You know, it was good because I think it is. I think ultimately, because those house churches are, and by the way, I don't think house churches are deficient ecclesiology, but because in his case, they're not gathered as a church. So I think a house church can have all of the biblical marks of a church. Matter of fact, if you don't mind, let's link to my article on kind of the 6 biblical marks of a church that should be true in everywhere and every place. So a house church in China can have all that, and a mega church in Korea can have all that. And God used the house church in China, has used the mega church in Korea. So we're four all different kinds of churches. Mm-hmm. But the point being is that JDGer is moving people to that so that they can function in the midst of this crisis, temporarily deficient, because they are not going to have time. They're not spinning off 1,000 house churches, yeah. right? What they're doing is they're functioning as house churches in the midst of this crisis and emergency. Now, they could very well spin off 1,000 house churches, and all those churches could become reproducing. I asked him that question. I think Daniel Yang asked him that question in the podcast. And there may be some indeed that happened. So what does that mean for you, church planter, listening to this? Now, I recognize it's not just church planters. Some of you are multi-site. Mm-hmm. But here's what that means. I think two things. First, still remember that house churches are foreign feeling to most people in the United States and Canada and most of the English-speaking Western world. That's one of the reasons that house churches have not experienced the explosion of growth that they have in places where such kind of gatherings are more natural and normal. So that's first. But second, and this is key, when those are embraced both by followers of Jesus and an openness in the community, and this may be the opening, right? So this may be a time when, I mean, here's the deal. Yeah. If you're planning a big Christmas Eve outreach, you are not reading the room. You are not going to get a bunch of people in a room on Christmas Eve in the middle of flu season and COVID-19 and say that, oh, we're going to do a big outreach, bring your friends to the Christmas Eve service. But people may start becoming more accustomed to small intentional gatherings. Mm-hmm. We see our neighbors having people over in our yards. You know, Chicago, we don't, you know, we have a long, painful winter like you do in Edmonton. But now we're seeing people and they're socially distanced. We take it pretty seriously in Illinois because we were hit hard early on. But if this becomes a pattern, then God in his goodness can actually be changing the way people think. And one of the ways that he may be changing them to think is a more openness to smaller communities and in the need for face-to-face interaction. Boy, that could be the opening. And there are already people who are open to that. So don't, yeah. I mean, if you love Tony and Felicity Dale because you read Simply Church, or you love Neil Cole's Organic Church, or Wolfgang Simpson's Houses That Change the World, don't send us letters. I'm for you. Yes. Yeah. I want all those churches to multiply. But my point is, it has not had the cultural breakthrough until this moment. We've actually done research that would point out, we cross-tabbed two questions about, do you attend a traditional church? I wouldn't use the word traditional, but you know, something that meets on Sundays in a building. And we cross-tabbed that with people who asked the question, do you meet with a group of 20 or less people to study scriptures as your primary means of spiritual nurture? Mm-hmm. We can put that in the show notes and I'll send you that. And so counting house churches is hard. And there were people that were engaged in those things, but not, it just hasn't had the cultural breakthrough. It's still seen as out of the mainstream. Yeah, this may change this. Now, let me just finish this. Sure. I know I'm talking long. My apologies. This may change this. And if this changes this to the place where these kinds of engagements are more acceptable, normal, et cetera, it could lead to a multiplication breakthrough like we've seen in church planting movements around the world. So that's the tremendous upside possibility that's actually here.
Yeah, it's a fascinating take, Ed, because what's fascinating is pre-COVID, the number of people who said, no, we would never do online, or it's not, online can't be church, or this, that, or, you know, they've all gone online, right? And it's kind of the circumstances have forced them to re-envision or rethink what church is. And what's fascinating about that is, I mean, that happened so fast. And even when it comes to digital training with Ministry Grid and all that stuff, I mean, yeah, I don't need to convince any of our staff or our church that digital training saves time. Like, everyone understands now that, oh, wait, I can actually just do this on my phone or on my computer and not have to travel to the church and do this. Yeah, of course I want to do that, right? So what's fascinating is how quickly attitudes and opinions have shifted because of our circumstances. Now, when I think about the time I was on a short mission trip in China and the house church model there, and you know, in many other countries, it's a forced upon situation, right? The circumstances. And we know that the church has always historically flourished when they're at in the margins. So it's a fascinating take, Ed, how you're like, I wonder if this is actually going to be that breakthrough. Now, it's still probably too early to tell, but I agree with you. I do wonder if this is going to be that breakthrough moment for house churches.
Yeah, cultural disruption always is a gospel opportunity. Mm. And sometimes a cultural disruption leads to a disruption of a practice, a common practice. And one of our common practices, and this is a long-term common practice, this is over a millennium, common practice is we gather in large groups for worship. And matter of fact, when there's religious liberty to do so and economic ability to do so, people have been gathering in larger and larger churches and under more and more professional leadership. I mean, the biggest trend right now inside religious practice in the English-speaking Western world among those who practice is a move to larger churches. Mm. Now, this is the big question. And I'm actually sometimes of two minds here, and I'll just be honest with you, because when Andy Crouch talked about this being a little ice age, which, you know, he contrasted this between weather experiences, right? Mm. It's not a winter storm where you basically shut down for a few days. It's not a winter where it's like a season. It's a little ice age, which could be a year, two, three, where things are just fundamentally changed. Yeah. And the picture he gave was, you know, the little ice age is an actual historical thing. You can Google it. And what happened is it changed the way, I mean, actually, people starved and more. And so he kind of laid this out early on. And I was a little skeptical of his comments about, you know, how this would impact the large church, right? So, partly because I think, you know, we got 2,000 years of history, and pandemics have not stopped large churches from meeting. So I don't think, here's where I'm of two minds. I don't think you're going to see a huge collapse of the large church. You know, when I preached this past Easter at Moody Church, it was an empty room, 3,750 seats. But here's the reality. 100 years before, I think Paul Rader was the pastor then, during the Spanish flu, people knew that being near other people spread sickness. Mm. So, but Moody Church met, you know, before, during, and after. We don't have a record that they stopped meeting. They might have, because several things in Chicago did, but we couldn't find anything in the archives. So here's what I think. I think that you're going to still see the best predictor of future behavior is past behavior. People in a year from now are going to be going to that Christmas Eve outreach service again. However, depending how long this disease lasts and how deep the psychological impact is, we could see an aversion to large groups and an openness to small groups. And I would say, even if it's not broadly so, I think the most likely scenario is most people will return and most Christians will return to the form of church that they have been moving towards in the last few decades, larger churches. Yeah. However, if it's deep and painful, we could see that move into more openness house churches. And for some people, it will also be evident there. So if I were missional, incarnational, wanted to plant a missional house church community, I would be encouraged that this might be a time unlike any other for at least a fraction of the population, depending on how bad this gets this winter and fall. You know, here in the CDC, they're talking about this will be the worst public health crisis in history this fall. We could actually see a bigger shift. So again, if you've been thinking about this, if maybe you're a denominational leader, say, well, should be more involved in house church, missional, incarnational, organic. Maybe you as a church planner have been thinking about this. I would ask the question, is this the time to step into? I'm not one who believes, I know you're not either, Daniel, that the house church is the biblically mandated church. But I would encourage you to read people who think that, because in doing so, you'll learn the kind of passion they have that could indeed be what God uses for the future.
Awesome. All right. So you know what we're going to do? We're going to do a part three next week. Continue this on, because we're going to really hammer in on the gospel opportunities for church planting in this season at this moment.
So, now you say next week, but don't we go like Todd's 1 week and I'm the next week?
Yeah, exactly.
It'll be 2 weeks.
So last episode one of this little mini series was 521. Today's 523. And then on 525, we're going to continue this on. All right. We'll catch you next time.